So today I'm talking to Harry Bick-Davison. You are chairman of trustees for Papyrus. It's the only, I believe, national charity for prevention of suicide in young people. And it's very much a parents-based charity. So it's parents wanting to get this into the open about how important it is to recognise suicidal tendencies in children. So the three dads, they've just been honoured recently in the King's Birthday Honours List for their fundraising work. They all lost daughters, Beth, Emily and Sophie, to suicide. You lost your own son, Patrick, to suicide. Tell me a little bit how you got involved in Papyrus.
After Patrick died, I took early retirement from my job as a head teacher and really had very little motivation for continuing my life to any great extent, such as the profound grief that follows a child's death by suicide. And I found Papyrus on a website. At that time, they were a very small charity based up in Warrington. I hoped to volunteer, but as they were based up there and I live in Wimbledon, it didn't seem to be very realistic. But I was lucky enough to meet the then chair of trustees and the chief executive, Jed Flynn, who is still our chief executive today, and was lucky enough to be asked to become a trustee of the charity.
So moving on from there, tell me about Papyrus.
Papyrus was founded in 1997, and as you rightly say, it was originally founded by three parents who had lost children to suicide, who really wanted to do something to prevent this terrible tragedy for other people. Today, it's very much a national charity. We've got 18 offices around the UK, including in Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales. And it's a charity that employs over 100 people, and it has a considerable turnover. We're now officially a medium to large charity, according to the definitions. It's extraordinary how it has grown, and I think that's partly because of the problem itself, that is massive. And Papyrus recognises, obviously, and tries to promote the fact that suicide is the biggest killer of young people under the age of 35, of all genders. Five young people die by suicide in the UK every single day. Four or five school children die by suicide every single week. And therefore, it is a massive problem. And Papyrus's USP, I guess, is our helpline. It's a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week helpline. We call it Hopeline 24/7. And the USP, I suppose, is the fact that it is manned by professional advisors. We don't use volunteers for that particular job. And those advisors are not just for the young people themselves who may be reaching out due to having perhaps suicidal thoughts, but to any parents, carers, teachers, health professionals who might need support, might need encouragement in order to help a young person who is in crisis. We also have training schemes, and we have a license for the ASSIST program, which is regarded as the gold standard of suicide prevention training. It's a two-day course, and it's one which we run for up to 16 people at a time. It's fairly intense, but it equips any individual who's interested in taking part then with being able to perhaps spot signs of suicidal ideation in a person, and at the same time gives them the opportunity to help and support that person and prevent them from taking the kind of action that later they might come to regret.
Right. And Papyrus, along with the three dads, is on its own mission, isn't it? And is to introduce suicide prevention training in schools within the national curriculum. How far have you got with that?
Well, this has been led by the wonderful three dads, Andy, Mike, and Tim, who have met not only the Secretary of State for Education, Gillian Keegan, which they did with myself and the Chief Executive of Papyrus, but they've also had meetings with Rishi Sunak, Sir Keir Starmer, and various other influential people regarding this really important idea. The idea is that if suicide is the biggest killer of young people, and if you're a young school person aged between 10 and 18, and your most likely cause of death is not knife crime, it's not drugs, it's not medical illness, it's not road traffic accidents, it's suicide, then you should have the opportunity to know that fact, but more importantly, to know what you can do about preventing some drastic tragedy from taking place. So consequently, we believe that we need to have suicide prevention as a compulsory part of the RSHE curriculum in schools. If young kids are being taught about drugs, the dangers of drugs, if they're being taught about the danger of road traffic accidents, if they're being taught about other important issues, sex education, and so on, we really do feel that suicide prevention has a very important place in that curriculum. And so, three dads have done amazing work in promoting that and also influencing the powers that be. This is something that really should be done. And I'm glad to say that the reception has been good. And although the change, the election and so on, has postponed matters for the time being, we have a draft suicide prevention curriculum in the hands of the civil servants who have assured us that that will be passed on to whichever the next government is, so that we can continue to perhaps roll out this curriculum and really see it happen.
That would be wonderful. And will the curriculum have a basis on the assist program that you've been teaching yourself to schools and universities and GPs? Will it be based on that program?
Certainly, many of the topics that are in the assist program will come into it. There is at the moment a consultation, a public consultation going on. Lots of professionals and educators will be able to express their own views about this. And so while the curriculum is in draft, certainly there is scope for developing it in the right way. And of course, it's got to be age appropriate. We believe that this is not just something for secondary education. It should be in primary education as well. And there is an age-appropriate way of introducing the topic to younger people. And younger people generally are incredibly receptive, as we found when we have gone into schools. They're already discussing this kind of issue. It's the adults, that are the main obstacle here. And one of the reasons why we feel it should be a compulsory part of the curriculum is to take the pressure off the head teachers, the heads of well-being, and so on, in that clearly, if there is a tragedy in a school, and sadly there are four or five of those happening every week in the UK, then we don't want to feel that the teachers themselves are in a position where they can be made to feel guilty or accused of being culpable by discussing suicide prevention with young people. Because it's an established fact that if you talk about suicide to a young person, you are not putting an idea into that young person's head. And therefore, the more you talk about it, the safer you're making the environment, not the other way around.
Yeah, I think we discussed before about talking and not being afraid to ask the question to a loved one, are you thinking of wanting to take your own life? And let's talk about it, because it is the bottling up and not talking about it that often leads to these disastrous consequences, isn't it?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Harry, thank you for coming again onto Radio Jackie to talk to me, and I wish you the best, because we've obviously times are changing. On July the 4th, we will have maybe the same government in, maybe a different government. But it's so good that it's in the hands of the civil servants, who are the next layer down, who can carry this process forward. And I wish you the very best of luck, and do keep in touch with us.